It's Air Talk on KPCC. Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle while he takes a vacation. In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising in New York City, and also the legacy of LGBT activism in Southern California and the famous protest that predates Stonewall in Los Angeles, right there in Silver Lake at the Black Cat. Just in a few minutes, if you have memories of the history of LGBT activism nationwide, Stonewall, or right here in L.A., you are very welcome to join our conversation at 866-893-5722. That's 866-893-5722. But right now, we are all looking at our grocery bags and wondering if they're still going to be filled and ready for us going into a holiday weekend, because there is talk now about a potential grocery workers' strike again in Southern California. Of course, our area was once home to the largest and longest grocery workers' strike in American history. That was 16 years ago when employees of Albertsons, Vaughn's, Pavilions, and Ralph's walked off the job, and it lasted over 4 months. Our next guest covered that story back then, and he is here to talk about what conditions could happen to present that again. James Peltz is on the line, business writer for the Los Angeles Times. Again, covered the strike in 03 and 04, and he's following it, the potential for a strike right now. He tweets at PELTZ LA Times. Welcome, James. Can you bring us back to 03, 04? What was it like out there, and how did it affect workers and consumers to be on such a long strike?
Oh, good morning. Yes, for those who either weren't living in Southern California at the time or too young to remember, it was enormously disruptive. The chains that you mentioned, I mean, the major chains, Albertsons, Ralph's, Vaughn's, you know, had sort of a larger share of the market back then. And when all of this happened, it was in October when there was a strike against one of the chains, and the others then locked out their workers in solidarity. And it was in October, and the feeling at the time was this might go on for a couple of weeks, but there was no way each side was going to let this continue through Thanksgiving, which, as we all know, is a huge time for us to be shopping for food and whatnot. It blew right through Thanksgiving, it went right through Christmas, and it went right through the New Year. And it just dragged on and on. And one of the things that was fascinating about it was, you know, people in the grocery business will tell you that we're all creatures of habit when it comes to grocery shopping. We tend to go to the same stores out of convenience or out of because we like them so much. We even tend to walk up and down the aisles the same way every time we go to a grocery store. And what that disruption 16 years ago caused was suddenly millions of people in Southern California were forced or decided to go to, they didn't want to cross the picket line, so they decided to try other places, whether it was Costco, whether it was Trader Joe's, whether it was Gelson's, you name it, where they hadn't been before. And what they found is that over an extended period of time, they actually liked these places, and they moved a good deal of their business. In fact, if I recall correctly, there was a dislocation of something like 10% of the traffic to the stores that were involved in the dispute went somewhere else.
Oh, that's a huge disruption, I mean, and a huge loss of business for those supermarket chains. It's fascinating. How was it resolved?
They lost about $1.5 billion in sales over those 4 months the chains were involved in the dispute, and a good portion of that never came back, only in the sense that people then decided, hey, you know, this isn't so bad, I'll try these other places and continue to shop there, at least part-time. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you can't go to a Trader Joe's and buy all of the things that you normally would get, say, at Ralph's.
But this is true. And, you know, the produce selection, the butcher selection, everything is different at different stores. What was the ultimate resolution there on the strike of 03-04, James? And then we want to get over to what's happening today.
Well, the ultimate resolution was that the union, what the supermarkets wanted was a two-tier system. Keep in mind, supermarket workers not only get wages, but they tend to get health care benefits and pension benefits, depending on how long you've been there and so forth, which is pretty unusual these days, and we'll get to that, when you're talking about a job where a lot of the entry-level positions are just at the minimum wage. Anyway, the point is that back then, they settled it by creating a two-tier system where new hires would get less than people who had already been working there. That's a broad brush, but essentially that's what happened. Now, the two-tier wages actually went away in later contracts. They've had three or four contracts since then. But it still exists to some extent in the healthcare and pension side of things.
And in this contract negotiation that's currently going on, and this is the United Food and Commercial Workers Union in Southern and Central California, and they're negotiating now with Albertsons and Ralph's, because I guess Albertsons owns a few of those chains now that Vons and Pavilions, right? So now there are fewer grocery chains to negotiate with. What's the topic of contention right now?
A lot of the same thing. I mean, the primary issue is wages. The supermarket or the union claims that the supermarkets are only offering something like 1% or less a year in pay raises. It would be a three-year contract again. And they contend that they're only offering 1% or less a year in a pay increase over the life of the contract. We haven't heard from the supermarkets in terms of the details of what they're offering, and they haven't really countered what the union is claiming, but that's the primary complaint from the union. And the other thing to keep in mind is if you look, they're still operating with the contract that expired in March. And if you look at the pay scales of that, the contract called for a lot of these workers to be paid what is now less than the minimum wage here in Los Angeles. And so the union is, if nothing else, is trying to stay above the minimum wage. I mean, for example, I think in a couple of days on July 1st, the minimum wage in Los Angeles goes up to $14.25 an hour.
Which is higher than that low end of what the union contract is right now?
That's correct. And you know, and then now in the state of California, the minimum wage is still $12. So it depends on where you live. But their point is that in terms of trying to pay these workers, a cost of living wage should be much higher. Naturally, that's what they would want.
Yeah, James Peltz, business writer for the Los Angeles Times, who followed the strike, large grocery strike in 2003 and 2004, stretched over the holidays, very disruptive to shoppers and really permanently changed shopping patterns, as James reports. You can follow him at PELTZ LA Times on Twitter. Really great follow to keep up on this grocery strike. So now there has been an authorization vote. Do I understand that correctly? What is the status right now with these negotiations?
Right. I wouldn't expect anything to happen in the near term, meaning in the next few weeks. This simply gives the union the authorization to call a strike if they want to. And it puts more bargaining pressure on the supermarkets because now they know the workers are prepared to go if it came to that. But they're planning to resume the negotiations, I think, on July 10th or so, and we'll see what happens. This is very similar to what happened 16 years ago, where the talks continued and then completely fell apart in the fall, probably not by accident, just ahead of the holidays. So I wouldn't expect anything immediately. But one thing to keep in mind, too, is that we were talking earlier about how the dislocation that occurred 16 years ago, and now the market, by the way, Southern California is the largest grocery market in the country, something like $45 billion a year in sales. I mean, now it's a whole lot different. I think a lot more people are accustomed to shopping at Costco or Trader Joe's or Gelson's or at their ethnic market. There are so many like Latino markets and others that are around now, Stater Brothers, particularly in the Inland Empire. So I think people are a lot more accustomed to, and by the way, also we've had a couple of chains have now come into the market, such as the German discount chain Aldi and Grocery Outlet and some of these others.
And Target carries groceries, as you point out in your
you
story. Yeah.
Out of my mouth, the grocery aisles at Target and at Walmart are huge. So there are plenty of places now that people could go if it came to that. But there's no discounting what another disruption would cost, because Ralph's and Albertsons/Vons still have 40% of Southern California market. It's a big deal.
So we are just watching to see as these negotiations go forward. You're saying it's probably not anytime soon, not like before the 4th of July holiday or anything. Any predictions going forward, James, in our last minute here? What do you think is going to happen?
I think they'll probably find a settlement. I don't think either side, having been through that, I don't think either side wants to see something like that again. So My best speculation is that they'll strike an agreement before anybody walks out.
James Peltz, business writer for the Los Angeles Times, following this story closely of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union in Southern and Central California, negotiating with Albertsons and Ralph's. Shadows of a story that James covered closely in 03 and 04 when that big grocery worker strike stretched over the holidays, very disruptive to people's daily lives and shopping habits. James, thanks very much for being on Air Talk.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle. Coming up in just a couple of minutes after the news, we're going to hear some firsthand accounts of activism for LGBT rights in the Los Angeles area. And at the same time, look back at the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising in New York. You can also share your memories of what Stonewall meant to you or your memories of activism in Los Angeles. If you call 866-893-5722, you can also go on our social media or our AirTalk page on kbcc.org. We'll be back after this news break with Hattie Lynn Hurdies.